Hey, my name is Daniel Prin, and I am a staff writer here with The Movie Buff. You're either watching or listening to The Movie Buff at Tribeca. For this interview out of Tribeca, I was able to cover the film Catch the Fair One, where I was able to speak with the star of the film, Kaylee Reese, who also has a story by credit, as well as director and screenwriter Joseph Kubota Thadka. The film follows Kaylee's character, also named Kaylee, as a former boxing champion who embarks on the fight of her life as she searches for her missing sister, believed to now be a victim of a human trafficking ring. The film had its world premiere as part of the U.S. narrative competition last night, and will be available this evening on Tribeca at Home, starting at 6 p.m. More info will be below, and let's get right into the interview.
So I figured I would start by asking, Kaylee, as this is your acting debut role, you do such a great job with the acting, so I'm curious what your comfort level was when you started out on day one, because you come from the world of boxing.
I kind of applied the same kind of mentality and the work ethic I have with boxing to the acting, and I've always been interested in it and being a natural artist. It was, I wouldn't say easy, but it was understood kind of what it took, and I was willing to kind of do whatever it takes. I was set up with a really, really, really good acting coach to kind of really break it down. And I was really determined to get the story told in the best way that I could. So that's kind of where it was. It was nerve-wracking. You know, sometimes you go into things thinking that it's a certain way, how you have to be, how you have to act. But really understanding how to get the emotions across that you want to express, and understanding that was, it made it more sense for me to be able to kind of get into this heavy role, because it's definitely a heavy role.
Okay. What were those acting coach sessions like?
Long and harsh.
Sheila Gray. It was Sheila Gray is the name. She's a legend. She's awesome. Shout out to Sheila.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say Sheila Gray, she is like my new therapist. But it was it was one of those things where I had to get broken down to get built back up. Again, a parallel to boxing, you kind of have to break something down and really understand it to put it back together the right way. And it was tough, it was hard, but I stuck through it, and you know, I had breakthroughs on the other side of that really grueling, hard, you know, vulnerable moments. There was really beauty in the vulnerability that she made me have. I had to get comfortable being uncomfortable, which is something I also apply with my boxing work ethic. So it was very eye-opening as well. And to me, for myself, finding out the capabilities that I did have that I had no idea about was amazing to me, and I'm really grateful for the experience.
Right. Well, we're also working together, you know, for 2 years up until we started shooting. So, you know, we had already, you know, I knew that she had the chops. I knew that she could act. And so we were doing a lot of like exercises and stuff with my camera, her, I'd bring my friend who's an actor. We would improvise scenes. And so it was a long journey, but up until when we were getting closer to pre-production, I just knew that to take it to the next level, to take it to a next step, I knew that Sheila would be someone that can really get her in tune with the instrument, with her own body, to specifically to be ready to jump into a scene. You know what I mean? To be ready to just sort of the whole machination of when you're shooting, you know, it's totally different than when it's just me, you and an actor, like, you know, doing exercises. So I knew that there was another level to take it. So I'm very grateful for Sheila.
All right, cool. And I found it interesting, just because you guys come from like different roles, like with you, Joseph, obviously in the filmmaking world, and then you, Kaylee, with the boxing world. So like, were you guys able to help each other out in just like the acting portion? And then I guess you could, were you like a consultant at all in the boxing?
Well, she's a world champion. So
yeah,
we came up with the story together. So, you know, okay. It was really, the film is, it's a manifestation of two artists coming together. Like, you know, she, when I found her, this was many years ago through my friend's boxing gym social media, you know, KO was already an amazing, I was really getting into boxing. That's how I found her. And she was already, you know, a world champion boxer, all these things. But what I was really drawn to was, you know, her activism and her being an artist and using her platform to speak out on things that she cares about. And as me as a filmmaker, you know, I've only made one film, or now two, but you know, it was just, I felt like, you know, we were kind of the same mind, and really that's how we came together to make this film, you know, a collaboration over 2 years.
Okay, would you want to talk a bit about how you guys came up with the story, how that manifested?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, one thing that KO is you know, fights for and advocates about is the missing and murdered Indigenous crisis in North America. It's something that she speaks on, that she fights for. And at the time, it was also something that I was reading and learning more about because it was coming a little bit more into the media. People were starting to talk about it. So, you know, we had a initial idea of a film, you know, but I wanted to invite her into the process and come up with the story together. We both have siblings. It's like a big part of our lives. We both have like older siblings that, you know, kind of helped raise us in a way. And that's one thing we connected on. We connected on being mixed race and the confusion of that, how that feels sometimes. And we kind of started with the baseline of this woman, you know, looking for her sister, sort of just an initial general plot. And then from there, we just kind of started building the story and working on it, infusing elements, making her a boxer, making her this boxer that kind of fell from the graces once her sister disappeared. And yeah, just constantly, like, you know, just through acting explorations and scenes, the scenes would change and so on and so forth. So it really was a process that was in flux leading up until the point where we started shooting.
Okay. Now, obviously you write the screenplay, but like Keely, did you have like a hand in like accurately depicting like those scenes where we do talk about the missing Native Indigenous people?
Yeah, absolutely. Like he said, he already had an idea for a script and I actually, you know, read what he had, but the more and more we were getting to know each other and he kind of knew my background and being a Native American from the New England area, you know, I started telling him who I was, where I come from, what I do know, the activism I do, going to different reservations and communities, kind of getting to know them and their stories and really hearing these stories and living through these missing and murdered Indigenous cases, going to VAWA conferences, which is the Violence Against Women Act, and hearing real grassroots organizations that they have to do. Like that, we really dove deep, and what I knew, I kind of told him, and even went to as far as talking to one of my elders to understand like that generational genocide that really happens. And, you know, from being a person of mixed race and how I felt, my own personal struggle. So there was a lot of personal things that we added into the creative process, and just kind of telling him my own stories kind of went in the feel of the film. And actually, you know, if there was something that didn't work and it was something, well, how would you say this? Okay, if this was me in a situation, this is how this would happen. And we kind of just bounced off each other, being natural artists and being very, very expressive. You know, it was awesome to be part of that process and not just get a script put in front of me and you're going to read this. You know, we want to make sure that feeling of the whole heartbeat of the film and that sorrow, that sense of loss that I've actually experienced being an Indigenous woman and talking to other Indigenous people and living through this day after day after day. We really want to make sure that that was expressed through the film. And, you know, these are words on the paper, but it's really what is expressed, even through silence, even through a look or anything. Like, we really played around a lot. And that was really awesome to see and be a part of, especially as important as this subject is. It's really hard to talk about and listen. But I was willing to do it because, you know, I have, just like boxing, I fight for all nations. That's what I say. I fight for my people, modern day warriors. So storytelling is just another way to kind of get things that we wanted, those messages across.
Okay. I love that. Cool.
Thank you.
It sounds like a little bit emotional too in like the research process, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just to read and hear these stories and open up that wormhole and dive down there. You have to, it's a tough thing to listen to and really know that there's things that happen every day, every second. And it's not just, you know, out of sight, out of mind. It's tough to research. You know, there's things I find out new every day. You know what I mean? I live through it and I, you know, I'm older now and know that trauma, that generational trauma actually lives in your body. And sometimes there's things and expressing, especially learning how to act and really understanding how acting works. Not knowing what's in your body, not knowing what's the emotion to express, to actually rediscover where you come from and what your people go through. It's tough, you know. It lives in your body. So,
okay, obviously, I personally can't relate, but I can very much sympathize.
Yeah, I mean, emotions they're not prejudice. You know, if you're angry, that's you're true. Angry. Sad, you're sad. You know what I mean? So that's just really important for people to understand and feel that.
Okay, awesome. Now, I wanted to ask, like, just because you star in the film, you have the story by credit, but I also know, I'm a credits watcher, And I noticed in the film that you had a, you performed a song called Grandma Easter's Lullaby. Did you want to talk about that?
Yeah, we can talk about that. It's a kind of a bitter sweet, it's a bit of a sad story, but it was the last day of shooting the film. And our sound recordist, Wolf Snyder, who's no longer with us, he passed away recently. We wanted to record a song of Kaylee singing. I asked her, you know, we had some downtime in between setups, and I was like, well, you know, is there any like songs, you know, something maybe like your mom might have sung to you or something? Let's go into this room and record it. And KO, you know, because she's many talents, you know, we just started with Wolf, and the three of us started recording her singing the song. And there was just something inexplicable and sort of powerful in this moment, having her record it. And it was the end of the shoot, and it was the three of us there, and we were all kind of just bonding. And then an idea of the film was like a memory, you know, like a faded memory was a big sort of like dominant poetic image of the film or something. And so it just felt powerful to end with that. And then also now with Wolf not here and his memory, it has a lot of meanings to it. But Wolf was an incredible sound technician, recordist, like an incredible person. Amazing person. Like he was every filmmaker that has worked with him, he was a real gem, and he's truly, truly will be missed. He was a gift to cinema, cared about sound so much. And the sound for this film, obviously sonically thinking about the film, it was a huge part of the film, because there's not a lot of dialogue at times in the film, you know, so we just wanted to feel the environment sonically. And he had such a meticulous, specific way about recording the sound.
And I've never... You know, singing is not my medicine, what we call in the indigenous community. We all have medicine, you know, fighting for my people is. So when he asked that, you know, I had to build trust. I have trust this guy. He's one of my best friends. And, you know, working on set with Wolf is such a beautiful soul. When he asked that, usually I don't sing. My mom sings. Everybody else sings. I will, you know, I'll be the security guard or something. But when he asked that, you know, I had, again, going through this whole process of the whole acting part, you know, I had to step into another role that I was not familiar with. But I was comfortable because I knew the song. The song wasn't written by me, it was sung to me. It's by a group called Netikush, Yulale, and their lead singer, she wrote it for her grandmother. And it was just a song that I learned as a young kid. My mom used to sing it to me. And it's just a song that puts me at ease. So I've sung it in the shower, I've sung it on my own, but I've never sung it in front of anybody but maybe my mom. And never sung it alone either. I've sung it with my mom. So I actually had that moment and really just let my voice be heard in so many different ways with people that I trusted. It puts a whole different meaning on it. So yet again, this guy threw me into another position that I had to kind of, you know, step it up. But it's an awesome way. And just, we had the idea of how we wanted to end it. You know, we had visualizations. We had, even so far as the credits go, but it just kind of happened how it did. And I'm really happy that it was me singing it, because it puts a lot more meaning to it.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that Wolf can be remembered through this special film. And also, yeah, like it seems like everything you put your mind to, you get comfortable very quickly, it seems, with the acting, especially being KO, right?
Yeah.
Bunch of different medicines.
Yeah, I kind of have to wear many hats or many feathers, but I'm learning as I go along.
All right, cool. Now, so your character, obviously your character is called Kaylee, you're Kaylee. So pretty much everything in your character is like a lot of you, right?
Yes, elements of it. I mean, there's
parallels.
Obviously, you know, we pulled from specific emotional things to try to bring to the character, but also at the same time, you know, it's a fictitious character, so there, you know, it kind of goes in between, sort of back and forth between that. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. But yeah, I mean, that was a lot of the part of the beginning of the process was like, because, you know, I always told her, you know, I want her to be real and grounded. You know what I mean? As she is the heartbeat, the emotional heartbeat of the film, you know, and the life in front of the camera is everything. So what are you comfortable with, you know, bringing to the table, and what can we, you know, fictionalize and so on and so forth to create, you know, the film and the story, how we want to tell it. And ultimately, that's what it ended up being.
Okay. Now, did you ever want to bring like a bigger fight aspect, or like have a big fight here? I don't know why I'm doing this boxing thing, but did you ever have one? Did you ever talk about that in the story phase, or was that just did that just not fit really naturally here?
I'm trying to think.
I mean, originally she wasn't a boxer.
She wasn't a boxer.
Okay.
We thought that just the aspect of making the physicality of the character, you know what I mean? Having her be a boxer and knowing that she was going to go on this physical journey was just, there's something visceral about boxing, you know, like when you're hitting the mitts and with her partner. Yeah. But also, you know, we really liked the idea of sort of someone who was this strong warrior. And when her sister disappeared, you know, that's when she's kind of fallen from the graces, and we find her in this moment sort of picking herself to go back, and you're like, oh, she's going back to fight, but she's going on to for a much very different fight, if that makes sense. So I think fighting, you know, was just obviously a theme in it. And I knew, you know, just seeing, I've been to many of Kaylee's fights. I've been backstage with her before she prepares. I've watched her on HBO when she was one of the first female boxing matches they ever showed on HBO in the 45 years. So cool. Yeah, I'd love to make a movie just about boxing though.
But a good one, because it's not all boxing movies are created equal. So like you said, the whole fighting aspect of her actually mentally fighting, physically fighting was great. But you know, I personally want to make it a fact that this is not a boxing movie, even though I'm a fighter playing a fighter. It was important, at least for me, to take the aspect out of physically fighting and understand her mental fight and understand the emotional fight that she was going through. That's why there's not huge boxing scenes in it. Yeah, there might be a glimpses to remind you she's a physically strong person, but just because she's physically strong, just like in real boxing, if you're not mentally strong, emotionally strong, you're gonna fall, you're gonna fail, you know what I mean? So me personally, especially me being my acting debut, I didn't want it to be like, you know, this boxer playing a boxer and just boxing, yeah. You know what I mean? There's so much more to it, but it kind of draws people in because, like you said, the visceral, you know, people like that physicality of a female warrior fighter, but you know, she does barely any kind of like stand up hand game with this girl in this film. So,
yeah.
And that was really important because it grabs your attention for another reason. You know, there's a whole bunch of little kind of like gut punches, if you will, you know, with this film, and that was important for people to understand that I'm doing this to tell a message. It's not that I box, I've been boxing for 20 years. This was a different type of message.
Yeah, and we always wanted it to be, you know, we just wanted to keep it really simple with like what she wanted, you know, in her idealized mind, like the ending of the film, all that is like she just wants to find her sister and then make her come back and come back to the ring, you know what I mean? Like that's what she's hoping for, you know, just simple as that, keeping it as simple as that.
Now, I think I have time for one more. I noticed a little mannerism here, just with when your character is doing her waitress job and you have like a little bracelet and you kind of like wrap it. Is that an anxiety thing, or is that like wrapping your hands before a fight?
It's very good. Yeah. You're the first one I heard to pick that up, because once I kind of understood acting wise, there was things that I needed to separate myself from the character because it was the same. So that was an anxiety thing, because she, after her sister was gone, there was things that she dove into that weren't boxing. So that's an anxiety thing. That's a character. There's a couple of characteristics that I put on her, and you're the first one to pick that up. That's definitely an anxiety thing, because she didn't want to punch the guy, so she has an elastic.
Okay, so it was like, okay, don't do anything stupid, Kaylee. Okay.
That's great. Yeah. You noticed that.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, cool. I love it. Awesome.
I wanted to thank Kaylee Reese and Joseph Kubota Vladka for taking the time to chat about Catch the Fair One. As well, thank you for watching another interview, and stay tuned to themoviebuff.net for more interviews and reviews throughout Tribeca, as well as other coverage.